on Toxic Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for August 23rd. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Ryan Scally. How you doing, Scally?
I'm good, Taryn. How are you doing?
Doing well. I don't know what your podcasting name is. I was thinking, what do I usually call you?
That's definitely fair. I've had people go back and forth, but usually it's still go by the last name, like, you know.
All right, there you go. We are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. It was day 18 in the house, and again, things are running pretty smoothly. I feel like the house has gotten into a rhythm. I think a lot of people are frustrated with the outcome of this particular week. So this is one of those weeks where, you know, if it's hard to watch, you can just kind of chill for a little bit because nothing too major is going on. You can just kind of listen to these updates, and they might even be like a little bit less in depth because not a lot is changing in the same way that it was in the first couple of weeks. So just put it on, go do some work, do some cleaning, do some cooking. I don't know what you like to do while watching and or listening to a podcast, but we're going to try and walk you through this.
Yeah, that's exactly the move. I mean, we've been seeing like this situation be set up for 3 weeks now, so it's not surprising that now that it's finally come to pass, there's not a lot that actually has to be done. Like, it's set in place. We're good. It's all been discussed. So, you know, like you said, listen to the updates. You're good from there.
Yes. All right. So we started the day with Bailey and Janelle. Bailey is still concerned about the incident that happened the night before, where she kind of, you know, got into this. It wasn't even really a thing. She made a comment to Nicole when Nicole was kind of joking around with Davon about David having a crush on her. Bailey said, well, it took you a couple tries to win the game in a few different boys, which Nicole then turned into a couple tries and a couple guys, which again, she really screwed herself over in that regard because that is way catchier. And then Nicole was upset. And now I went over this in the roundtable last night that Nicole seemed to be more upset that she was being sort of, being viewed as trying to ruin Day's game than the comment just by itself. But that she did cry over it. And then Day went and told Bailey that Nicole was upset about the comment, and they were supposed to kind of like talk and you know, just kind of squash it real quick. And Nicole even said, like, I don't blame her. It's not her fault. But over the day, this is going to fester, this wound, this open wound. Bailey starts the day like, I'm really concerned about Nicole. She says this to Janelle. Janelle's like, you should be concerned about Nicole. She's a snake. Yeah. Did I tell you about what she did on The Amazing Race?
Yeah, it definitely, like you said, it wasn't a big thing, but it became a big thing just by everyone talking about it over and over. And Nicole has said, like, everyone else is here for followers, but the good branding with the couple tries, couple guys definitely knows how to, you know, get that out quick, get people to catch on. So it's just like, Nicole definitely, I don't want it to be a big thing, but let me keep telling everyone about it. It definitely got brought up throughout the day multiple times.
Yes. And I will also say that throughout the day, Nicole is going to start to perpetuate the idea that Bailey was being mean to her, where the previous night she hadn't. She did start to, over the course of, especially late into the night, of yesterday. So So while she did initially say, I don't blame her, it's not her fault, like I said, it has festered. And now she's like, why would she even do that? Why is she mad at me? This isn't fair. And she's passing that along. But Danny was the one really at the start of yesterday as well, who has a conversation with Bailey and talks about how, why are you being so aggressive to Nicole? If we're going to really place the blame on the person who really started this fire, I do think it's Danny who is telling Nicole, she's being so mean to you, is telling Bailey, Nicole's really upset. Why were you so aggressive and mean to her? If we're really going by this wound analogy, she was poking at it really hard.
It's not ideal. I mean, when you have someone like Nicole, who is a little sensitive, and then also talking about a topic that she is already sensitive about due to fan reaction on the outside, maybe, then having someone in your ear being like, oh, it was mean. It's very easy to then buy into that and it build up and build up in your own head, and then to, you know, feel that way more and more throughout the day.
Yes. So that is going to be a storyline throughout the day. Bailey says she wants to go after Nicole straight up. She's done with it. She wants to put up Nicole and Ian if she wins in HOH. Now, remember that Nicole is not actually in any alliances with Bailey. That can sometimes be hard to remember, but Bailey is in Connect Four with technically Danny, which it's technically like a Connect Five a little bit, but it's more Connect Four. But it's mostly Bailey, Devon, Cody, Enzo, with like a side of Danny. And then the Slick Six is Bailey, Devon, Danny, Cody, Tyler, and Enzo, which does not include Nicole either. So I think that in Bailey's mind, she can justifiably take a shot at Nicole and, you know, get rid of some of the numbers in for some of those people and be able to have clean hands. Like, oh, she's not in our alliances though. I hope that she reevaluates this plan, because Ian would just straight up go home.
Yeah, there's a little bit. This is why I was concerned with while I was rooting for it, a Bailey or Devon HOH this week. I was like, Ian's not safe, definitely is an option to go up there and would be going home. I mean, if, say, either had won, but definitely like Bailey, as we're discussing right now, I think she would have had like a number of people in her ear trying to convince her out of Nicole. She eventually does kind of figure out that Nicole would have to be up against someone really popular in order to go home. Yes. And Ian might not be that person in this house. So it's popular as he on the outside, inside the house, that might not work. So I don't think she ever really came to a decision of who that would have to be, but I'm not feeling great about Ian if Bailey happens to win an HOH coming forward.
Mm. So they pick players for the veto. Cody, Memphis, and Bailey are chosen to play, and they will be joining, of course, Tyler, Janelle, and Kacer. Tyler's going to talk with Memphis about the veto competition. Memphis says, I don't care. I'm going to play. I'm going to play to win. I'm not going to throw it. I already told Janelle and Kacer that I'm not going to use the veto on them if I win. In fact, I had a conversation specifically, I think last week, that was like, I mean, I wouldn't use the veto on you in week two or three. Like, and I know you wouldn't use the veto on me. So why are we even pretending? So Memphis does not care and will be trying to win the veto and will not use the veto if he does win it. He doesn't care if they get upset.
Yeah, it definitely the right position for Memphis, probably even if he's not in that big alliance in his point of view, because it's kind of just inevitable that one of them's going to go home anyway. But especially considering that he thinks that he's in so tight with everyone, Memphis is definitely portraying that he is going to be trying his hardest, whether people believe that or not.
Mm-hmm. They also talk about how Janelle is probably the better target this week. Now, last week, Memphis had been talking with Cody about wanting Kacer to be the one to go over Janelle, and that he would be pushing that hard this week. But that idea has changed, and he now considers Janelle to be the bigger threat to go home. in part as well because he feels like Kacer on his own won't be able to get any purchase with his ideas, but will continue to make an outcast of himself by pushing hard, and that he won't be able to slow down, and it will be easier to just go, you know, back to back with Kacer and with Janelle and then Kacer versus Kacer and then Janelle, where Janelle might be able to actually blend back in for a little while.
An interesting read to say Janelle could blend back in by them. But I mean, when you have someone who was evicted, you know, three times pre-jury in two seasons versus someone that made the final three, both of their first two seasons, it's not surprising that she is viewed as the bigger target this week, but is saying that Kacer wouldn't be able to make any inroads where Janelle is the one who they have primarily villainized to the whole house. I think it might be a wrong read. Not that it's going to be a huge difference between the two, but definitely interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting read because on the surface, it does seem correct, right? That like Janelle does have more connections. She's tight with Bailey. She's made those connections a bit more. And they are going to have a conversation, Kacer and Janelle, where, it's literally the next conversation to talk about, actually it is a little bit later. But they have a conversation where, Janelle tells Kacer, like, I think you can go far if you just chill out. And he says, I can't. I just can't, Janelle. That's not me. So like, I do think that there are some surface level points that are correct there, that Kacer is going to keep pushing. And he doesn't really have any connections in the house. He doesn't even have a Bailey, really. So you can kind of see the logic. But despite all of that, it's still Janelle. It's yep. still, she has the reputation for competition wins. It's, you know, she is the person that, that Danny is so hyper focused on for no reason, that Nicole is so hyper focused on, that like, it's just, it's hard to see Janelle being able to blend back in, even if she does change up her game. But I could be wrong here because Janelle does plan on changing up her game. She's going to talk to Kacer about how, you know what, screw Kevin, screw Devon, they screwed us over. If I win the HOH, I'm going to go after the floaters. I hate floaters. I'm putting up Devon and Kevin. I'm going to try and team up with these power people.
Yeah, guys, just because it's another All-Stars does not mean that we have to try the same thing as All-Stars 1. It didn't work out last time, so I don't know. I mean, I guess a little bit for Janelle, so maybe that's why she's defaulting there. But yeah, definitely terrified in, like, Janelle basically knows I'm not going far regardless. So let me just take out the people that I don't have an interest in watching later in the season if I'm watching. And I guess that makes sense, but from a win equity perspective, maybe not so much.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, to be fair, this is what worked for her in All Stars, right? If she just like buddies up with a Tyler or Cody, and then lets them sort of like control her HOHs, then they'll throw competitions to her, and then nobody else will be able to take her out, right?
That's
what happened last time.
Yep. And I don't think that she would not be bad for one of their games to pick up as a giant target in front.
Especially Tyler.
Exactly. And so I was a little bit surprised to see both of them, like, you know, kind of folding on having her go out this week, where I think it'll probably become a discussion point later in the week, but definitely not a bad move for them to have a target in front of them.
Yeah. Janelle and Kacer also just in general talk about these other outsiders and how disappointed they are in them, that they're disappointed in Devon. As I talked about, Janelle says she doesn't have any skill in the game. She's only good at getting information and then spreading the information. Like, there's nothing else there. And they're so frustrated. They can't believe that Nicole sabotaged them and herself by constantly telling people she didn't trust them. Even after their big pitch to get Nicole votes, they left the room and she sabotaged them right then. Like, what did she think was going to happen? They're like, I can't believe she did that. And really, we can't forget that, like, all of this like anti Nicole and Kacer sentiment, like it really came into focus during the week, during last week. First, it happened just a little bit when Janelle and Kacer started pitching that they wanted to go after Cody and Tyler and Danny and Nicole. But then what really made the entire house start to get on this train in the way that frustrated a lot of the viewers was that Nicole Anthony was spilling literally every single thing that Janelle and Kacer said. And when you have your closest ally spilling your all of your guts all over the house, like all of the bad parts, then like the like nobody in the house trusts them anymore. And it's like 90% Nicole Anthony's fault.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, you had a bad read by Nicole Anthony, as well as, like we said, Kacer cannot sit back. So for the first 2 weeks, even when it's definitely a lost cause and he can see that, Kacer is full steam ahead. We have to save who we want and is going to be campaigning no matter what. So the combination of the two really has resulted in a giant target on both of their backs, and they don't have a lot of ammo anymore because it's all been sold out.
Mm-hmm. Kacer says, we're like the people who win and do nothing with their HOH. Like Memphis was HOH, he was on our team, and we did nothing with that HOH. It's like when Fessy won and you're screaming at the screen like, no, stop. And Janelle goes, yeah, but that's happened before. Oh, yep. You mean Howie? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Howie. At one point, way back in the day, was one of my all time favorites. But, you know, that was an interesting childhood choice. So, they, you know, it was definitely from at least their perspective, where they don't know, you know, from Memphis's perspective that he is in with everyone else. It's a fair read. They did not go in harder with them.
Yeah. So they go to play the veto. And he's come back. Cody has won the veto. Tyler came in second place, did very well. And most people, in fact, think that he threw the final round to Cody. In fact, Danny's going to talk to Nicole about it, and she's pretty annoyed at both Tyler and Cody because she's like, why did Cody let Tyler throw it to him in the final round? I don't want Cody to have a target on his back. I want Tyler to have a target on his back. Why are we letting Tyler put the target on Cody?
Yeah, can definitely see Danny already being ready to prop Tyler up as that target once a few more of them go home. So it was not in Danny's ideal scenario, but maybe telling everyone that it wasn't in your ideal scenario is not the best this early. But yeah, Danny's gonna Danny. So what are you gonna do?
It is funny because she keeps talking to Nicole about Tyler. Nicole has never reciprocated this. Like Nicole has always been like, yeah, sure, I agree.
Yep.
So I don't know where Nicole's head is at with this. She hasn't told anyone about it, but she's also not contributing. This is probably the smart thing to do, whether or not she like fully agrees.
Yeah. And if this does become, whether it's Danny versus Tyler or Cody versus versus Tyler, I would think Nicole would obviously tend to side towards Cody and Danny. Oh, yeah. But if it becomes Danny off on her own versus everyone, I'm not so confident Nicole is sticking her neck out there. So, well, listen, not great.
I think Nicole in this conversation, when Danny is like, I want the target on Tyler, not Cody, I think Nicole is probably thinking, I don't care which one of the target's on, as long as it's not me. Yeah. This is my thing. Cody is my Polly and Tyler is my Corey right now. Like, I don't care. Exactly. Or maybe the other way around. I don't know.
Well, the target can be on Tyler, it could be on Cody, or it could be on Danny, whatever works for her that week. Yeah. So it's fine. Moving forward, she has the ammo and she knows that she can use it later.
So Nicole is also going to talk with Danny and Christmas. She's very concerned that Janelle is going to blow up on her at some point. So I just know it's coming. I just want to be prepared for it. Cody, I think Janelle's going to blow up on me. Can we just like help prepare for it? It's going to hurt my feelings.
Yeah, there's this thing about how, oh, Janelle was going to wait until after the veto was played to blow up, which she has discussed a little bit, so I don't think that's totally inaccurate. But you have Christmas pumping up Nicole like, you're a legend. It's like, okay, Nicole deserved her spot on All-Stars. Is Nicole a legend? Let's reevaluate at the end of the season, maybe. But, you know, Christmas is one to always pump up the team, and so she is fulfilling her role right now for Nicole.
She took some cues from Paul. It's exactly. Hey, Nicole, it's a big accomplishment to survive Janelle in Big Brother.
See, if I didn't think Christmas would be up there herself, I would be expecting like a Dan like motivational speech for everyone on the wall still.
But
that's what I'm expecting out of Christmas so far.
Memphis is going to talk with Christmas and Nicole. He's now that he's not HOH, he's all about the team. I think we should discuss as a team, as a group, who we want to go this week. I think we should all be on the same page. I'm thinking Janelle should be the one to go for all the reasons that we talked about already. Nicole is and gonna talk with Danny later about like, oh, now this guy's all for the team, huh? Like, okay, all right.
Yeah, Memphis last week was very much like, I want to hit a home run and I don't want to, you know, run the bases. I just want to, you know, knock it out of the park and that's it. And this week with his alliance, it's very much like, all right, I'm going to take my time, do a little slow jog and definitely put the effort in where he should have probably been putting it in last week where it would have counted a lot more.
Mm. Enzo's going to talk with Bailey and he's kind of throwing out this idea of what if we did keep Janelle around? She'd be useful because she's going to go after Nicole and that's fine. Nicole's not in our alliance she's also going to be this big target. So what if we did that? Enzo likes to throw out ideas.
Yeah, definitely. I find it interesting, like, which ideas Enzo throws out to which people in the house. Mm. And it's fun keeping track of that. But ultimately, it doesn't seem Enzo is necessarily throwing this out everywhere. So I could see him deciding to, you know, pick this up a little further into the week. And I see other people probably bringing up this point. But I don't think it's a bad idea, especially to be talking to one of Janelle's closest allies about maybe we should keep her and do what you want. I'd be open in future weeks.
Yeah, I'm really curious to like nail down exactly where Enzo is because, week one, he was like, he won the veto and he was like, you want to backdoor Tyler? Nah, just joking. And then week two, he was always talking about like, maybe we should save Nicole. And then he votes to save Nicole, which nobody cares about. Nobody knows where that vote came from. Nobody really cares. And now this week he's talking about like, maybe we should keep Janelle. Maybe we should use Janelle to go after Nicole. And then we'll talk about it a little bit later, but he's then going to go to Tyler and be like, yeah, Tyler, these women in the house, they're not winning anything. Danny, she's super sketchy. Nicole, she's just riding our coattails. They talk about taking them out because they're winning all the competitions. And then later he's going to go back to, Bailey and he's going to say, never mind, maybe Janelle should go because I'm worried about her getting a power, like fan voted power. And you know what? Kacer's still going to go after like Tyler and Cody. And you know what? Tyler's very, very dangerous in this game. He's really good. He's going to win this thing. We got to get Tyler out at some point. So maybe Kacer can help us do that. And I'm just like, where are you, dude? I don't know where you are.
I mean, in that conversation with Enzo, Tyler, and Cody, it becomes like, let's argue why every single person in this house is a threat. And so it's like, Davon is paranoid. But you know who makes her paranoid? Kind of Bailey. But you know who Bailey's close with? Janelle. You know why Janelle's a threat? It's like, yeah, we all know why Janelle's a threat. You've been talking about it 3 weeks now. So it's just person to person to person they're going through and setting up future targets there.
And of course, he also is talking about Ian all the time. Like, we're not going to let no winner. Win again, no champion's gonna be a champion again on my season.
And that's why maybe he's ready to keep Janelle is because she'll go after another winner in Nicole over there.
Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back. And we're back, so let's get back to the show. So Kacer and Janelle talk some more now that they've lost the veto. Kacer is upstairs trying to put together one of those puzzles. And he's just like, I'm just trying to solve this impossible puzzle to make myself feel better about sucking at this game. It's they're having a lot of like these long, sad discussions that they know that their time is up. Kacer says he wants to keep trying. He wants to go to Tyler and try to make a deal and get Tyler to backdoor someone. Janelle's just like, don't bother. It's not going to work.
Yeah, that's the thing. Kacer, again, trying that All-Stars one. Let's go to the other big targets, try to target some floaters at someone else. Let's try to figure this out. But Janelle kind of is like, I'm going home. Why are you doing this? Like, set up your game for the future. Don't make yourself a target. So next week, we're both out of this house.
Mm-hmm. She says, yeah, I'm the bigger target. Like, I'm going home this week. Kacer's like, fake offended, like, oh, thanks. she tells him to chill. He says he can't. He has to be aggressive. That's just who he is. And he says, look, this is going to be the first time in the house that I'm here without you. I'm just going to go rogue. I'm just going to go for it.
Yeah, I think that they both see the writing on the wall. Neither Kacer or Janelle want to spend months in jury. So that is also a concern. But you see that they are both, we've always seen they're both the type of players to play all out no matter the circumstance. So it's not surprising to see when they have their backs against the wall, both on the block together for now the third time over the years, they are kind of just like, eh, let's just go for it. There's no point.
Mm-hmm. Christmas is going to get her punishment for being the plus one, and it is a star baby. It's a little like pillow in the shape of a star with like very weird eyes.
Yeah, it is a interesting punishment, huh?
it seems like a little insensitive on a few different levels. Mm-hmm. Where like. Even just basic level, there's a bunch of parents in here who are like, who have babies at home who are missing them a lot. Also, you have Bailey in here who just a couple weeks ago was talking about how like she would have a 2-year-old right now if things hadn't happened and in the house that are very tragic, and it's just like, well, do we need to have a baby punishment? Like the main thing here is that it's annoying, and she has to get up and run. So just like we can get another theme here, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Even like Davon, like in the house, notices, and it's like, we have all these parents that are missing their children at home, and now like I have to listen to the screaming. Like Christmas is carrying her around. Christmas is going to get a segment out of this, so she's happy. But everyone else like still has to deal with all the announcements all over the house, and like Davon recognizes like this is not like super sensitive to everyone that's in the house. So it is like, why did they not, you know, put Christmas in a baby costume, make it, and Davon brings up like, make it so that the house
Mike Bloom would freak
her
out.
Not his ideal punishment at all, but at least for other people it would be like, I don't even know what the entertainment value is in this whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. It's just a little off, I think. All right, so Kacer and Janelle are going to talk. They're talking all day. She has a plan, though, that if she goes home and Kacer stays, she wants Kacer to make Nicole a have-not next week. And when he does, she wants him to say, this is from Janelle.
Yeah, and there's a little bit more embellishing on there. I don't even know if I can see that this is from Janelle coming out of Kacer's mouth, let alone the embellishments that she wants him to throw on from her. But I definitely am not surprised to see Janelle planting seeds before she is about to leave the house to, you know, get under Nicole's skin from home.
I can't believe she's gonna blow up on me like that.
Yep, it's going to give Nicole, you know, another Janelle will be here and Nicole will still be upset about how Janelle will not leave her alone.
Why me? and So they also talk. Kaser's going to have a little bit of a sad moment. He's feeling down about being there. That he's left his family. He's like, what am I doing here? Like in these times, you know, he thought of this as like a way to go and do something that mattered, and like, you know, have this platform to get messages across that he felt were important. And that he could then, you know, after doing this, he could go back to his family, and be like, you know, I did my part. I'm not just taking, I did something to give back. And he realizes how stupid that sounds. It's a dumb TV show, but like, this is, you know, this is an opportunity and a platform that he has. And it's, you know, just typical awesome Kaser stuff. Janelle is there comforting him. Doing her best. Janelle really, not the best comfort person. But she's just kind of there as a sounding board, letting him talk at her, which is really all he needs in the moment.
Yeah, when, you know, people have talked about that segment on Big Brother 14 where it's like, does Janelle have emotions? And Kaser does, but Janelle is not the best at dealing with those. It's very much like, oh, Kaser, like, it's okay. And like, that's the extent of what you get. So she's there for him and will sit with him, but very much cannot empathize fully with what he's going through.
Yeah, he's like, this place messes me up. It messes people up. And she's like, what are you talking about? We're fine. Yeah. We'll be fine. You just go home. You're fine. And he's like, my brain doesn't work the same way yours does, Janelle.
Yeah. She's like, this is fun. I do this for sport. Like, I'm excited. Like, Janelle really does like thrive in the Big Brother house and very much enjoys like the like manipulation and social strategy. Whereas like for Kaser, he's here and I think he's going to be happier once he gets home and like sees like segments on the show that did make air and like actually will have an impact. But right now it is just, it's been a rough couple weeks for the both of them, but they're definitely, like Kaser points out, handling it differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Janelle says to him that I told you before we came into this place that we weren't going to win, that this was not going to work out well for us. And that was before other people got pulled and we thought there would be bigger targets in here. And he's like, yeah, I mean, I didn't come in expecting to win either. Like, that's not really it. He's also in tears about Nicole Anthony, feeling so bad for her, saying it's not her fault that she came in here and watching a sweet girl like that be broken by this place. Between the sobbing and the not trusting them, he feels so bad for her. And again, it's just like this guy, he's just so great, Scally.
I know. And especially like you guys were talking about yesterday, like Kevin says, like, I met Kaser in real life. Not impressed. Like, how did that happen? So especially like for the day after, for like this to be the Kaser all day on the feeds, like it was just like a example of exactly why everyone likes Kaser so much.
Yeah, it's that was really a moment where it's like you read online like, oh, I met this celebrity and they were a jerk. It's like, it seems like people just take that. Oh, like, oh, I guess that celebrity's a jerk.
Yeah.
Like that one interaction from one random person. Kevin Campbell met Kaser and thought he was a jerk.
Oh, Kevin. I mean, I don't think anyone's taking much of what Kevin says this season seriously, so I don't think it's having much of an impact anyway.
But all he needs to do is go online and make a comment about it somewhere, and then for years, if that's the only person that's met Kaser, people will just assume Kaser's a jerk in the community. That's what happens all the time.
Yep. So I don't know. It's a weird one. Again, I think people are really going to consider the source, but I have not been able to get really any read on Kevin after being excited for him to come back in the house. So I'm not surprised this is where we're at with him right now.
Kaser and Janelle also talk about like when they met, and this was super sweet to hear. And like, it's so weird to like hear these two people reminiscing about the sort of the, you know, their perspective on in their memories of the things that I was watching. They talk about like Tyler and how he was like 10 years old when they played the first time. And I was like, yeah, I was not that much older than that watching you two. And they're talking about like the first time they met and how Janelle was pretending to be dumb, but Kacer saw right through it. I was just like, oh my God, this is like, I don't know if other people will understand like what this means to me if they didn't watch this 14 years ago.
Yeah, it was so good. And that's the thing, is it's like we have all like watched them for this long. And so when you have Janelle like put it in perspective, like my daughter is almost as old as Tyler was when we were on the first time. So it is definitely, it hits like for me the same as it's hitting. Like it is there's the reason why there are so many like Jacer tribute videos going around this week, is like it has a big impact even this many years later. And like it's this short of a time, this go around, but you know, it still hits the same.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, they are talking about Tyler. They think he's a nice guy. They're kind of like, he's probably going to win. Good for him. But they're talking about him as a big threat, which is a very common element throughout the day between Danny. Enzo has said it now. They are saying it. And then later we're going to hear Kevin talk about it. Part of that is because in one of the rounds, so the veto competition was played in like heats. It was in matchups, I think it was like Kacer versus Tyler, or maybe it was Janelle versus Tyler, I don't remember. So that's why it was Tyler versus Cody in the final round, and they think that Tyler threw it to Cody. But in a previous round, Tyler got like the fastest time by far. He got like 39 seconds, where it took most people like 4 minutes. And they're like, this guy's insanely good and smart enough to then throw it later. Like you don't just go from 39 seconds to mediocre. And so they are all looking at him throughout the day as like this guy. Not only is he massively good at competitions, as we see, but he's also a super nice guy, doing really well socially, really well positioned. Like everybody has an eye on Tyler right now.
Yeah, we've definitely come far from a wounded bird Tyler that was around for the first couple weeks. And now it's like, okay, giant physical, social, mental threat Tyler is in the house with us. He's back. Like people are starting to remember the kid that they saw on BB20.
Mm-hmm. So Nicole is going to talk with Christmas. And now like, the days has gone by, a lot of like, little things here and there. Bailey is acting weird around Nicole, according to Nicole. Nicole's hearing that Bailey's talking about, potentially targeting Nicole. And there's the tension is building. And Nicole's talking to Christmas. She's filling her in about the situation. She's like, she was so mad at me and she was being mean and she made that comment. And now I'm annoyed. It's this big thing. And I'm hearing that she's targeted because of it. And it's like, it's no good.
Yeah, not great. I mean, and we haven't even talked about where people have brought up there was a comment from Danny saying to Nicole stuff like something that was along the lines of like, oh yeah, showmances can really help your game, like just ask Nicole, and had the very different reactions that the two garnered. And I think a lot of that can be chalked up to like when you have a joke that is coming from a friend, and we know that Nicole and Danny have a relationship on the outside, mm-hmm. whereas coming from someone where Nicole has probably already worked up Bailey to be against her in this house and a threat. So, and like we've said, other people have also been kind of hyping up that it was mean, but it definitely does not look good, whether it be, you know, optically or to go ahead and just say like the reaction is just not fun. The two different reactions from them, it kind of feeds into what people already say about Nicole. So not ideal.
Mm-hmm. Danny is going to talk with Memphis a bit. And you know, speaking of people who like Danny, I like, it's almost as if she's convinced herself that she had no problem with Janelle. Because like I remember night one, Danny was like, people are like so like sucking up to Janelle and Kacer. Like, we need to, like, you know, nip this in the bud. And like, she was hyper focused on Janelle. Like, Janelle was the first name out of her mouth, basically. And Janelle for a long time was like, nah, Danny's got me. I've got Danny, like, great with Danny. In fact, Danny was expecting to be pulled into an alliance with Janelle days into the game, because she knew that she was still on Janelle's good side. It wasn't until like late week one where Nicole caught Danny in a room with Cody and Tyler and Nicole that Janelle started to be like, is Danny not with me? And then it wasn't until week two that Janelle started saying Danny's name as one of those targets. And that's when Danny panicked and offered an alliance with Janelle. But to hear Danny tell it, she came in, I'm friends with Janelle. I wanted to work with her, but she just came right at me. I don't even know what happened.
Yeah, it's strange, because I remember, like, even like you said, that first night, it's like everyone leaves the room, it's everyone's talking, and Danny's just to, like, Nicole and, like, sometimes, like, Davon, like, do you notice how Janelle's, like, the biggest threat in here? Like, we cannot leave them here, like, immediately. And it really, and I've said, like, it feels like Danny took the lessons of BB13 to don't flip on your alliance, when maybe she should have thought a little bit more about the let's keep big targets ahead of you still, and not immediately be throwing out their names on night one. So I've been a little concerned about Danny playing, as you say, playing messy through these first couple weeks. And it seems like, you know, at least Janelle is onto her. So I think that we could see other people catching on eventually, too. Mm.
Danny's also going to talk with Ian, and they talk about Janelle going home, that Ian is on board. As we know, Ian would like for Janelle to go. He feels like he's building some kind of relationship with Kacer, and so he can work on that if Janelle goes home. She's just way more dangerous. Ian lets Danny know that Kacer did tell him about a four-person alliance, Tyler, Danny, Nicole, and Cody, that Tyler and Cody were a pair, that Danny and Nicole were a pair. He says, I did not believe him. I think he was lying to me.
Yeah. And I think people are like, why would you tell this right to Danny's face? It's like, they probably know that he's heard this already. And by, like, bringing them that information and, like, at least attempting to convince them that you're not onto them at all, then it's going to probably benefit Ian moving forward. At least it's not going to outright hurt him at this point.
Yeah. I think also he might believe that Casey was lying.
No, don't say that. I'm like trying to attribute it like, oh, no, it's he's playing it. But yeah, I mean, there is that chance. I think he knows that whether it is true or not, though, it's not going to benefit him to openly be like, oh, like, I think he kind of like has to play it this way either way.
Mm-hmm. He's also like, he has been very like, once 4 Prime was made, like there's been a mark, you can see there's a difference in Ian's behavior. He's like so much happier in the day. He's talking to people more. Like, you can tell that he feels, I think, very comfortable with this alliance, very good about this alliance. We'll see where we go with Ian. He did talk to Kevin a little bit about feeling like, because this is, he talked to Kevin and he said that in his first season, it was like playing poker. Like, some people come into the game, they're playing poker, seeing everybody's cards because they have all the information. It's very easy. In his first season, he was playing poker with the lights off, blindfolded. He had no idea what he was doing or what was going on. And he thinks that this season it's a little bit easier, kind of implying that, like, I know some things. And Kevin was like, I'm you. I'm such a you right now because I have no idea what's happening. And Ian was like, that's actually a good spot, though. That's the Dan spot. That's the, you know, that's the, like, nobody's going to look at you as a target. Nobody's going to target you. You'll stick around for a while. You've got time to catch on. So I get the sense that Ian feels comfortable where he is. So that implies to me that he is at least a little bit telling the truth to Danny about, like, not believing these other things, because if he did, I think he would not feel super comfortable where he is. I think that them constantly pushing back on including Tyler in the group has probably convinced him that they probably never had a thing with Tyler. They really don't want Tyler in this group, which means this is probably like genuine. And I'm a little concerned, but I think the good thing that Ian has going for him is that Danny actually is against Tyler and Tyler actually is against Danny, and they probably have to deal with each other first before anything else happens. He just has to watch out for, you know, the Baileys and Devons of the world who are planning on putting him up on the block next to Nicole, which would definitely send him home.
Exactly. Yeah. For Ian, it's good that like finally now he has some people in that majority alliance besides Nicole who are going to, let's say he is put up against another, you know, quote unquote outsider, that he is not going to necessarily automatically be the target to go home, which was the position he was in before. So in that sense, like, I do agree that Ian, you know, is reading it correctly. He's in a better position. Good stuff there. But hopefully he can wake up and see the reality of the rest of the situation around him at some point.
I wish Ian would talk to us.
Yeah, that's true.
He did in 14. My concern is that I think that he might now be smart enough to realize that when he talked to us in 14, he kind of gave away that he knew nothing. And so he's smart enough to realize that if he says anything to us now and he's wrong, then it proves that he didn't know anything. Whereas if he doesn't say anything, we can keep assuming that he's just doing the smart thing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's
that
not like...
seems like such an Ian play. And it's just like he's smart like that. Right.
So. Yeah. And it's not even Ian did not watch last season. So you can't chalk it up to him seeing Cliff exposing himself talking through the door. So I definitely think that there is some motivation there for Ian, whether he is the slight possibility he's talking and we're just not catching it on the feeds because, you know, we tend to see, you know, either a big group or a couple people at a time. But I think that that's probably correct in that Ian has learned his lesson there.
Yeah. So Kevin's going to talk with Devon late into the night. They like to have these late night conversations. They talk about going after Nicole with Ian once Memphis goes home. Wait, what? Once Memphis goes home? What do you mean once Memphis goes home? They are looking at this game like they've got a couple more weeks that, you know, Janelle's going to go home. Kacer's going to go home. Memphis is going to go home. Then they're going to strike. Oh, no.
Yeah, not great calculations going on. And both of these two, while in the past may have been known for reads, definitely not so much this season. So this miscalculation really could be the end for at least one of them. You know, Devon keeps getting thrown around, but seeing that, I think it's partly bad reads, partly wishful thinking, thinking that they have this much time. So I don't think that it's going to go down in the manner that they think it's going to.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that, like, it's like, okay, you're going to wait a couple more weeks. Yeah. And then once you do take the shot, you're still talking about Ian and Nicole on the block.
Yeah.
Which will just send Ian home. Like, so even if you do win HOH, it's going to be completely ineffective. Look, minds can change. Plans can change.
That's what I keep telling myself, at least.
Yeah. They also joke around about the David stuff, and Dave's just like, I just enjoy talking with you, Kevin. Like, I wanted to have these moments with Bailey, but I just don't. Like, I just don't have these moments with Bailey. She's too close to Janelle. This has been a recurring theme over the last, you know, couple of weeks that Devon just doesn't feel like she can connect all the way with Bailey because Bailey is too close to Janelle and Devon is suspicious of it.
Yeah, I mean, and like when it leaked to at least Cody that that Devon had the, you know, little crush on David, it probably did not help things. So for her to then be opening and she's like, I shouldn't tell you this, but like, here's everything, and definitely goes on. And the whole time we thought that there were no potential for showmances. And I was really hoping that it would be the case, especially with Devon, not where I am rooting for a showmance to, you know, even further put a target on her back. But she seems to be giving in a little bit here.
I mean, honestly, I'll like, hot take, I think a showmance with David would help her game.
Interesting.
I do. I feel like if people started to look at David and Day as like a package deal, people like Tyler would feel more comfortable keeping Day around because he's got David. And if David has got Day, then he doesn't have to worry about Day as much. He doesn't have to like be in an alliance with Day where he's worried that she might out it. All he has to do is be good with David and be like, David, can you make sure that Day doesn't target me? And now all of a sudden Tyler doesn't have to worry about Day anymore. And she also has a little bit more like clout behind her name. Like she's got, it's David and Davon, who now, if David could win a competition at some point, that would help her. I mean, showmances generally, I do think, tend to help the person that the people that are in them, as long as they don't get too distracted by the showman, as long as they're still playing the game and being social, having a partner in the game can be very helpful.
Sure. And I do agree that it would help her on that side of the house. I was still worrying about people like Nicole or Cody or Danny, like seeing that Davon is the linchpin between like Bailey and David and, you know, whoever else in the house, and having being viewed as having two close pairs already may be a little concerning. But I definitely do see the positives in having, Tyler's trust here in actually bringing her into something more solid.
Yeah. And I mean, part of this take as well is that like, there's not really too much further to fall for Day. So like at this point, throw anything against the wall, because
very fair.
What else is there to lose? All right. Kevin is also going to talk to the cameras late into the night, talking about Tyler being dangerous. This guy's going to win this game. He needs to be backdoored. So he talks about like, what would I do if I won HOH? Would I put up Cody and Tyler? Would I try to backdoor Tyler? Nah, I'd probably just go with the Memphis plan. Just put up Memphis, try to get Memphis out.
It's so rough, because even like Davon and Kevin were talking about like, oh yeah, we have to go for these big physical guys, but we have to wait for the double eviction because you got to get them out quick. And it's like, there's only one, maybe two a season. Like, you can't wait. There are so many of them. You have to not rely on waiting. And like, they are so content to push it off till after Memphis goes home, push it off till the double eviction. And you guys aren't going to have that much time.
Mm-hmm. So that was most of the day. Anything else that you want to bring up, Skyler?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
All right. So there we go. That's what we have. It's Janelle and Kacer. They lost the veto. It's looking like Janelle will go home. There's maybe some rumblings that things could change, but in my opinion, I think we're going to be losing Janelle on Thursday. We're seeing a lot of people start to look at Tyler. It's a big threat. He's got some time to let that cool off. He's probably got a few weeks actually to let that cool off. So I don't think it's like major buzzkill for his game, but definitely, what we were worried about looking at Tyler coming into the game is that he would be this figure, which he seems to be. And I'm definitely curious to see how he gets out of it, because he is in kind of a tricky position within this alliance where most people are loyal to Cody before they are to him. And that means that he is a prime backdoor target. But we'll see. And we're seeing a lot of people at the moment also looking at Nicole and Ian as potential nominees. So that's mostly what we got for the day.
Yeah, that definitely is concerning for both Tyler and Ian. Likely, I think, you know, obviously Ian being the more likely to go out in that scenario. But like you said, I feel like we have a couple people to go through. And I do think Tyler is able to read the room, reposition himself. But it's just a matter of like, what are the available pieces left on the board by that point? Because if he lets this go a couple weeks before really addressing it, he might be, you know, letting his options go out the door.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that's what we have for you. Scally, where can people find you?
All right. Well, I'm going to be podcasting all season with Kirsten McInnes about Love Island right here on the wrap-ups feed. So
how dare you plug Love Island when Janelle lost the veto?
I know, but we have I was not thinking that we were going to have any potential for showmances. So I was going to say, if for some reason you watch Big Brother for the showmances and we don't have any, Love Island is right around the corner. You get to see people 5 days a week to 6 days, actually the season a week, where it's happening in real time. People get to vote. You are frustrated by the what's going on Big Brother. You can have your say on what happens on Love Island, at least vote for your favorites. But so we'll be podcasting talking about that all season long. And then I am on Twitter at Brian_Scally, tweeting about Big Brother and whatever other, you know, shows are on there. Managed to get a season out right now.
Yes. All right. You can also find me at Armstrong Taren on Twitter and on Twitch at twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. We'll be back later tonight to recap the nomination episode of Big Brother 22. And I'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. Thank you so much for joining us. I'll see you next time.